came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sandy. No, I have Bolton. I'll come up closer to you guys. I love the picture that's on the front of the bulletin this morning because I want us to think around the theme overcoming fear, about the ability we have to live in life with confidence, to live with the power of God in everything that we do. And yet we know there come times in our life when we are frightened, when we do have fears. A certain man had an occasion like that as he was driving down the freeway one day, and he looked in his rearview mirror and he saw a highway patrolman with his lights on behind him. So he pulls over and the highway patrolman gets out of the patrol car and comes up to his window and he rolls the window down and the officer says, "I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. Your taillights are both out." And the man looked up at the officer and said, "That's terrible." And he began to get worried and began to be so concerned, and he began to fidget and just sitting there. And finally the officer said, "Well, sir, it's no big deal. The ticket won't cost you very much. It's not very expensive, and you can get your taillights fixed." And the man looked up at the officer again and said, "But, sir, you don't understand. I'm not worried about the price of the ticket. I'm not worried about my taillights. I know that I can get them fixed. But I am worried about the $60,000 boat that I was pulling." Now, there are times when we have fear in our lives. And those fears can drag us down. But the good news that you and I have is the news that God will what? Raise us up. God will raise us up. As one Christian writer put it one time, he said, "Every evening you need to get rid of your fears and your worries because God's going to be up anyway." And we know that to be true. We know there are moments that we struggle in our lives, that we're fearful, but we can turn them over to God. We need to turn our fears and our worries over to God. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is teaching the people, talking with the people, and when he's finished, he goes down to the shore and he gets into a boat with his disciples and they begin to cross over the Sea of Galilee. Now, we know that there are storms on the Sea of Galilee, and they can come up in a moment's notice. And as they're crossing over the sea, a great storm comes up. But Scripture reminds us that Jesus was tired, so he was asleep. But the disciples are worried about what's going on. They become fearful, and finally, in a panic, they go and they wake Jesus up. And they say, "Master, save us, we're about to perish." And Jesus looks at them and he says, "Why are you afraid, O men of little faith? Why are you afraid?" Now, we know that there come those moments in which we struggle in life. And at times, God will ask us that same question, why are you afraid? What is it that you're afraid of? But at the same time, God will come into our lives and will calm the storms of our life, will calm our fears. Two things that I would lift up this morning. And the first simply is this, what is it that you and I are afraid of in life? What causes us fear? Franklin Delano Roosevelt put it well when he said, the only thing you have to fear is what? Fear itself. The fear of fear. Back in 1980, a woman by the name of Dorothy Goff went into her apartment and she shut the door. And for the next 30 years, until she died, she only left that apartment on three occasions. Once when she had an operation, once when she visited some family, and once when the apartment flooded. For 30 years, she stayed behind the walls of that apartment, within the confines of that apartment, never going out of it, except for those three times. The world outside was way too frightening for her. Day after day, month after month, year after year, she stayed in that apartment in a safe environment, except maybe for an earthquake or a plane landing on her roof or a serious illness. And you know what? For that 30-year period, nothing really bad ever happened to her. But maybe the greater worry that Dorothy Goff should have had is the fear of missing life, of missing experiences, of missing relationships, of missing the joys and the wonders of the world around her. Now, it's true at times we can allow our fears to get to us. Maybe not to that extreme. But our fears can begin to get us down. And we need to see the power that we have. We need to see the victory that is ours. We need to see the confidence that God gives us to move beyond those fears. And maybe at times the greatest fear we might have in life is missing the ability to love other people, to live a life well lived, to serve God on a daily basis in our lives. Maybe the question is how do we handle the fears in our lives? Are we more afraid of handling the fears in our life or of what our fears do to us and continue to do to us? You see, God didn't promise us a safe life, but he promised that he would be with us and uphold us and empower us every day. One time, a certain man went to a counselor because he was very depressed. And the counselor talked to him for a few moments, and then he asked, well, what is a typical day in your life like? And the man said, well, when I wake up in the morning, I worry about my health. I worry about my family. I worry about all the problems I'm going to have to face at work today. When I get to work, I hear all my coworkers and they're talking about all the problems and all the worries in their lives. As I'm driving home from work, I think about all the frustrations that I had at work that day. When I get home, I turn on the television, I look at the news, and I see all the bad things that are happening in our country and around the world. After dinner, I take a pill to relieve my anxiety. And before I go to sleep, I take a sleeping pill and worry about what's going to happen the next day. Now, we think about this, man. We think about our own lives. And we know that oftentimes we have thoughts like that. We look out and the life and the world seems so scary to us. But maybe what we need to do is to turn our thoughts around and to think of what positive things are happening in the world today, what good things are happening in the world today, how faith and confidence and power can be a part of all that we do. Back in the early 1970s, there's a wonderful story that comes out about the then San Diego Chargers, the now LA Chargers, but the then San Diego Chargers. In the early 70s, there was a quarterback by the name of Dan Fouts. You may remember Dan. He went on to great stardom with the Chargers. But at that time, they also had a backup quarterback by the name of Bobby Douglas. And in one of the games, the Chargers were not playing very well. It was a very frustrating game. Things didn't seem to be going right for them. And it came down to where there was less than 2 minutes left in the game. And the Chargers were down 14-0. Well, the coach had had it, so he pulls Dan Fouts out of the game. And he calls to Bobby Douglas to go in and finish the game. Well, Bobby's excited. He puts his helmet on. He straps it. He runs out towards the huddle. And he gets about three-quarters of the way out to where the huddle was. And he looks up at the scoreboard. And he sees that they're down 14-0. And there's less than 2 minutes to play in the game. And he turns around. He runs back to the coach. He looks the coach straight in the eye. And he says, "Coach, do you want me to win the game or just tie it?" Now, at times we look out at our life and it seems impossible. It seems impossible. But the good news is that we can overcome the impossible in our lives. We can take whatever it is that we're facing in our life and we can move forward with it and not be held down by it. And we can end up saying to God, "Do you want me to go in and win the game or just to tie it?" We can live with triumph in everything that we do. We can live with victory in our hearts. That's a lesson the disciples learned that day. That with God, nothing is impossible. Or to turn it around, with God, everything is possible. Now, the second thing I would say to you this morning, and that is, how do we handle our fears? What do we do with them? How do we deal with them? There's a story that's told of a duck that one time went into a convenience store and went up to the clerk and asked the clerk, "Do you have any duck food?" And the clerk said, "No, we don't have duck food." And so the duck said, "Thank you," and turned around and walked out. The next day at the same time, 2 o'clock, he walks into the convenience store. He walks up to the clerk and he says, "Do you have any duck food?" Well, the clerk was a little bit upset with it, but he said, "No, we don't have any duck food." The duck said, "Okay," and he turned around and he walked out. Third day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the duck walks in to this convenience store, walks up to the clerk and says, "Do you have any duck food?" Well, this made the clerk angry, and so he looks at the duck and he says, "I've told you on 3 occasions we don't have any duck food. We never had any duck food. We're never going to have any duck food. And if you ask me one more time, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor." Duck turns around and walks out. Next afternoon, 2 o'clock, he walks in. He's not frightened. He walks in with a sense of confidence. He's not afraid of what's going to happen. He walks up to the clerk and he says, "Do you have any nails?" The clerk said, "No, we don't have any nails." And the duck says, "Good. Do you have any duck food?" Well, that's the way we need to deal with life at times. We need to walk in with confidence, with power, with the feeling that we're not afraid of what's going on in the lives around us. Because the one thing that we really know in life, and we need to write this down, put it on a mirror in our bathrooms or a piece of paper and put it in our pocket, is that faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes fear. Faith trumps fear. And we need to be reminded of that every time we go into the world, every time we face a difficult situation in our lives. John Maxwell, in one of his books, talks about a woman by the name of Lena and her grandfather who owned a farm. And Lena would talk about the fact that every spring her grandfather would go out into the fields and would pull the weeds up. And she said on his field there would grow these yellow flowering weeds, and at times they would grow to be overwhelming. And he would go out and he would pull up these weeds one by one by the roots. And Lena said that when she got married, she and her husband bought and owned a farm in Ohio. And every spring, the same thing would happen. These little yellow flowering weeds would begin to grow. And she said, just like my grandfather, I would go out into the field with my husband, and we would kneel down, and we would pull those weeds up by the root. And she said, my grandfather was a Christian. And he taught me a great deal about farming, but he also told me a great deal about life. He said, every time I would have a self-defeating thought, every time I thought my life was too hard, he would say to me, Lena, pull it up. Pull it up by the roots. Get it out of your mind. Every time I thought that somebody didn't like me, he would say, uproot that thought. Get rid of it out of your thinking. Don't let it grow. Every time I thought something was going to turn out badly, or it was too hard for me, he would say to me, that's not the thought you should have, Lena. You should think about what you can do with your life. Uproot it. Get rid of it. And then Lena said he would always give the clincher. He would say, Lena, I want you to think of how Jesus thinks about you. You see, Jesus believes in you. Jesus thinks you're good. Jesus has only positive thoughts about you. And Lena, if you were the only person on the earth, he would die for you. And if Jesus thinks that much about you, you need to think that much about yourself. My friends, that's what it's all about. You see, if Jesus is willing to die for you and for me, he thinks that much about us, then we need to think that much about ourselves. And we need to live that out on a daily basis. I close with this. In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, 13th chapter, there's a wonderful story about the people of Israel. They had been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, not knowing really what the future had in store for them. But now, in this 13th chapter, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, and they're looking over into the land that God had promised to them. But God says to them, before you go over, I want you to send 12 men over, 12 spies over, and to search out and to see what's going on over there and to see the situation. And so these 12 men go across the river and they go over into the promised land. Well, after a couple of days, 10 of them come back. And their report was like this, that the people over there are like giants. And there's so many of them. We are like grasshoppers and they're going to devour us. But the other two come back several days later, Caleb and Joshua. And they come up to the people and they say with a voice of confidence, "We are going to go over into the new land. We can do it. We can win." And that's what God says to us in the face of the challenges that we meet in our lives. We don't become grasshoppers, but we become people who say with all the confidence in the world, "We can do it. We can win." Amen.